Applebee's. Morning. Good morning. Oh, man. Man, they're not going to let me out on the Quinner this morning. Good grief.
I'm backed up outside of town. I just turned on the 53 and I can't even move, so I'm with you. I don't know what the hell's going on.
All right, there. I finally got out. Yeah, just car after car after car. They're tearing up some of the streets in my neighborhood. And it pokes out onto the Quinner a little bit at 12 and a half. So I have to deal with that. Anywho, hey, you have any smart bulbs that work with like Alexa or Amazon or anything like that?
I got a bunch. I got G-Sync, C-Y-N-C. So I got my coach lamps outside. I've got a lamp with three bulbs in the living room. I've got RGB strips in my network cabinet. And I think that's it. They work really good, and they're pretty affordable. And I just put Govi lights. I haven't done anything with integration other than my iPhone. I have shortcuts for them. But Govi, I just put rear monitor lighting, like ambient lighting, because I put a new stand in, so I have a monitor stack on top of a monitor, which means I lost my desk lamp, so I put those in for, some kind of lighting. But yeah, they work good.
Well, I have Senled, S-E-N-G-L-E-D, and I'm done with them. They're out this morning for the third time in recent months. Last time it was a week, and so they were out. Something to do with their servers and I don't know what, but I woke up this morning and the lights were out again. I couldn't control them. So I'm done with that company. I want to find a new one. That's why I'm asking. And but I heard that Govi was tied to this company. I don't know about the other ones you mentioned, but Govi, I heard, might be connected to Senled. I don't know. But I'm looking for one that I can count on, because this is the third outage in a pretty short time, and it kind of sucks, especially the ones that I get used to.
I'd say get the GEs then. I've had them since I moved in. For Christmas, they're green and red. You change the colors, change the mood, the theme. Build an Amazon driver. Got this local delivery that was sitting in my driveway for like 20 minutes, so I turned them on flashing red and blue. There's all kinds of cool stuff, but I can literally just tell my Google Home system to turn them on, off, up, down, whatever. Same goes for a lot of stuff that you have. Two-pack of bulbs, I think, is cheap. Two-pack of bulbs is like $20, $24. But I've had some outside. I've got three of them in coach lamps, and they've been outside since I bought the house last August, and I've had a couple.
Are you saying GE, like General Electric? Is that what you're saying? I'm not quite hearing the brand you're saying.
Correct. Go, and the line is Pink Charlie Yankee November Charlie.
GE Sync. So, wouldn't C-Y-N-C be Chink?
I think we need a hotel in there somewhere. Actually, what I'm going to do, so when I get around and we do the backsplash this winter, I'm going to put that as under cabinet lighting, above cabinet lighting, because they've got strips, ropes, they make under cabinet lighting, so I'm going to make anything in the house that I need to work, that stuff, and then the Govies are just for my desk, because it's so cheap. I put a 16-foot RGB IP strip
Well, I just need some bulbs. They don't, you know, I mean, the fact that they change colors and dim is all cool, but I basically just need bulbs I can turn on with the Alexa or the Google Home. I have a Google Home device in my bedroom, and I use that for my bedroom light. And then I have three bulbs in the basement, and I have a an Alexa device at the top of the stairs. So I just generally say, word, turn on basement lights or something like that. But those are the only ones I have. Three in the basement and one in the bedroom. So I could buy a four pack and call it a day. I just want something that's not, these things are, they were difficult to set up with the, you know, with the devices. And they just, they're out all the time. So just want something that works. I know how frustrating that is when stuff doesn't work because some Chinese servers don't. I recommend them. For reliability, GEs are definitely, in my opinion, the way to go. Lutron is the best, but that's a whole other expensive home automation ball worm. And if you don't want the colors, I think they even have just regular smart bulbs that you can adjust the temperature and, you know, tell them to go on and off or put them on a schedule. And I'm sure those are a little bit cheaper, but I don't remember what I ended up getting. I just knew those were going to do everything, and they weren't that expensive. And, yeah, so far I'm pretty happy with them. Well, that, you know, there's the question buried in that is, are there any where you run your own server so you don't have to count on the Internet and some Chinese server for them to work? I could, but without getting their API or hacking whatever the hell they're running because it's all app controlled, I'm not going to be able to do anything with them. Oh, I'm not suggesting, you know, do it with a brand that does that method. I'm just wondering if there's a brand out there that sells a home app where they're controlled to your home app on one of your computers. Yeah, you could homebrew it. It's when you get into the Adreno stuff. Get your strips, get your Adreno and a controller, and there you go. Yeah, but I mean, then you've got to put something between the socket and the light, right? For the actual control. You know, I'm talking about a Wi-Fi light that reports into like a light server that you run. Seems like somebody could sell something like that. I have a thermostat. It's a Honeywell, and there's a hub that it's older tech nowadays. Yep, sorry, it's older tech, but it's kind of bulletproof in that regard because you know you've got the hub in your house. And it's called RedLink, and your stuff's all hooked to that. And I don't recommend it, but it is relatively immune to the Internet going out as long as your home, you know, network is running.
I get what you're saying. You're talking about like a land-based lighting system. Yeah, I'm sure that's out there. And speaking of thermostats, I have the Nest thermostat, which is the worst thing I've ever owned. So whatever you've got is exponentially better because you can control it. I'm considering going back to a traditional thermostat. But I don't know of any brands out there. The problem is, right, like these cheap IoTs, they're all just data farming. So they're sitting on your network, which you should VLAN them if you don't. They're sitting on your network just looking at traffic and sending it to wherever the hell they want it to go.
Okay, and this next question is going to be because I'm ignorant, and I'm not an IT guy. Has there been a report of any, you know, breaches of, you know, with IoT devices? Has that ever actually ever happened, or is it just a fear we have?
The only breaches I've heard of are for camera systems, where they're hacking them and viewing you, or viewing what your cameras are viewing. As far as IoTs, there's been known reports of data farming, listening to conversations even if the mic's off, things like that. But as of yet, I don't recall any legitimate attacks or breaches.
Yeah, I mean, you know, eavesdropping or peeping Tom is, you know, bad enough. That's not good, but, all right, come on, you jackwagon. I see, you get your head up your arse. But, just getting on the 59 here, and some jackwagons barreling up behind me in the slow lane. As I'm getting on, now he slows down. Of course, the only one to do that because I was trying to get on. Never mind. I digress. All right, well, I'm going to research it today. I got to find some four bulbs to replace the four that I use normally. And I'm done with this company I got now, Senglad. They're terrible.
Pretty piss poor that they sell a smart device and then their servers go down.
KE8VSI, good morning.
Good morning, Greggy Pooh. I'm in my worst possible area right now as I go underneath Mound Road in the gully that is M59 in Utica. Good morning. What say you?
Still making it just fine. Not a lot. Did my 45 minutes of cardio this morning and then hosed off the patio because I might just be able to spend some time outside today. So I'm looking forward to that. Got to do a little bug spraying and weed spraying and then call it good. What you guys up to? Dakota.
Hey, DDF. Good morning, Greg. Doing some chorin, are you? I'm just on my way to work. One more day. Taking Friday off. Got the yard graded, so I'm going to rake and hopefully seed this weekend. We'll see. Just home stretch. So those are my chores.
You got all the dirt in. Good deal. Down to raking. Well, that'll be nice. You got pictures, like, so you can show before and after? Greg?
Oh, man, that was a long time coming. Very good. Glad to hear it. Once you get that seeding done, what a hump to get over. I hope it works out and it goes as planned. But either way, it'll get done. And, yeah, I'm interested in before and after picks as well, or during or whatever. And, Sean, I heard you just tuned in when you were talking about cameras and lights or something. Something went wrong. I didn't even catch what that was about. So if you could fill me in a little bit. Dakota?
Yeah, we were waiting for one of the guys that did the work the first go, and then it was like 8 weeks, and I was finally like, you know what, I'm tired of waiting, so I hired a different company, and guess what, now it's done. But I'm sending you guys some before and afters right now.
Cool. Yeah, it sounded like a big project. I didn't realize you had to switch contractors, but hey, it is what it is. And, Greg, yeah, I was hitting up Dakota with LED lights that he can control with his home devices, Alexa or Google or whatever. I've got these ones made by a company called Senglad, S-E-N-G-L-E-D. They're terrible. They're hard to set up, but that's not such a big deal. They're just weird to set up and link to your accounts. But they're out all the time. Their servers go down, and then I can't control my lights. And, I mean, you can still use the switch, but then it jacks everything up, and you got to go through that miserable setup process again. So I'm done with them. Today I woke up, and they're out again, third time in recent months, and I'm looking for an alternative. I'm looking for a decent LED light that I can control with my little home devices. So suggestions welcome.
Oh, all right. Yeah, I hear you. I would be set up too in that situation. I think I have two lights that I control with a home system. but I will be getting more, and yeah, that would aggravate the crap out of me. But I, because of that, I don't really have any suggestions on that avenue. So, also here you had a power failure. I'm hoping that your new generator worked wonderfully for you, I hope. And lots of weather and power failures. I've been fortunate here. We lost for 1 second one day, and then about a week later, 2 seconds. So I don't know what that was all about, but that's the only failures I've had. KE8, VSI, Dakota.
Sean, to make sure I understand your use case, are you just turning them on and off?
That's it.
I would honestly look into smart switches instead of smart bulbs. It's probably going to be easier and better.
Well, Greg, let me, just to get that thought formed, aren't those the same thing? Don't those have to connect up to your Wi-Fi and have some sort of a server or something? How do those differ?
No, they're the same in that capacity, but I'm saying as far as reliability and longevity, I feel like they're probably going to work better because they're just hardwired into the wall. They're easier, well, maybe they're not easier to swap out. I don't know, just throwing that out there. I know that a lot of the home automation stuff that I've got to support or that I know about, all the lighting's controlled by the switching, not necessarily the device, the light. So just throwing that out there.
Go ahead, Greg.
On that note, the two lights that I do control with Alexa, one is the ceiling light in my office, which is a 5-light halogen setup, real nice thing. But I did the switch in the wall, like Dakota said. I put a smart switch in there, and have never had an issue with it. The other one started with my Christmas tree. I got a little outlet, a smart outlet thing. You just plug it into your outlet, and then there's a plug on it. And that sets up through Alexa as well. And during non-Christmas time, I just have a lamp plugged into it. And so I use that. Those are the two that I have, but it's not the device I'm controlling. It's either the outlet or the switch. Works pretty good for me.
Let's see here. Yeah, so that would work for me. I have no desire to change colors or dim or anything like that. I have a bedroom light and then my basement lights. And if I could just turn them on and turn them off, I'd be happy. So whatever is simplest and most reliable, I don't like the idea that I got to count on a server and just, you know, in China, turn my lights on and off. It's been out 3 times now, and it's like one time was out for weeks. So I couldn't, you know, and then every time you turn the light, then the lights get, you know, they lose their sync. So now you got to go through that whole ridiculous process again. So it sucks. Oh, crap. You got to get over. I hate this Romeo plank. Chris, you wouldn't notice it, Dakota, because you're way over to the right when you get the Romeo plank. But I am off and over to the left, and they make you. It makes you take the roundabout, or not the roundabout, the loop back.
Yeah, when I'm driving through there, I'm on autopilot, so. But you're right, I'm usually in the furthest right 2 lanes.
I'm aware of that. That lane closed. closure, or not really closure, it's just kind of the two left lanes, all of a sudden you're dumped into the turnaround. And it is labeled and all that, but if you're not familiar, even if you are, I get screwed by it occasionally too. And it's just kind of, it comes up suddenly. So yeah, I understand that one. It's a pain in the butt.
Oh, they give you plenty of warning, but I find myself, you know, every now and again, I find myself like, damn it, you know, forgot to get over. So I don't know what it is. It's just weird. But they certainly give you plenty of warning. But yeah, Dakota would be way over to the right by the time he gets to that point, so he's not gonna run into that problem.
I'm in my crater on Detroit. How am I?
Bacon fry, but no problem at all. And the issue with that, Sean, is I'm like you. For some reason, I just overlook it or find myself too late. I don't know why. It's the same thing. Plenty of warning. But half the time I go through there, I want to go north on Romeo Plank. So in that case, it works out well for me. but go ahead, Sean. I'm sure Dakota sounded fine to you, too.
Oh, yeah. No problem at all. Going to Detroit from the hole. I'm still on Warren up here at Heidenreich and 59 going to the Starbucks here to get my morning brew. Although they screwed up yesterday. See if they get it right today. Dakota.
I think there's no getting around that hole that I got to drive through every morning without some fry or some drop. Holy crap, everyone's slamming on their brakes on 53 again. I don't know what it is. I know what it is. It's a hole, and then with all the trees growing in, I just don't get out. So I bet you this winter it'll be totally fine.
It's weird that you switched to Detroit from there instead of Warren. That's interesting. But either way, so you're coming in fine.
I was just past in Detroit. I know Warren's. Warren, UMP, Romeo, Richmond all have the same results, so I was just curious what Detroit did.
Got it. It was interesting. My wife and I were talking about looking at the meteor showers last night, and we talked ourselves out of it because it peaked at 4 a.m. and we're in bed like at 10:15. And even waiting till midnight when you could possibly see something, and then driving 10, 20 miles north to look to the south. I wonder if anybody saw anything or even considers doing that sort of thing.
No, sir, not me. I'm in bed by 9 o'clock.
Okay, I'm back. Got my coffee. Start heading in. What's that? Some sort of Jaguar. Little two-seater Jaguar. F-type. Certainly out of my price class.
Hey, F is in Frank or S is in Sierra?
Fancy.
I'm not familiar with that one, but all right, cool. I know there's a dealer right around there on the north side of Hall Road that sells Jaguar, so maybe it's a demo or could be just a regular Joe driving his fancy car.
It's like the Model S Plaid behind me whose license plate says Kidney Doctor.
There you go. Advertising. But, I've always liked Jaguars, and the older ones can be had pretty reasonably, but they can be temperamental to keep running. But you know, if you got it just as a toy for sunny days and stuff like that, I guess you can put up with it. There's a whole website, Broken Kitty, where you can get parts to keep the older ones up and running. But I don't know. Will I ever have one? Maybe, maybe not. I'd have to have a garage with a lift and all that stuff and definitely commit to doing a lot of my own repairs.
I've heard that myself about those older ones, maybe even the newer ones, I don't know, but yeah, it's definitely a hobby type car, and they're persnickety, they all kind of weird stuff I've heard, so no desire for that in my life. I prefer just regular stuff that's reliable.
I remember growing up, there was a green convertible Jaguar, I don't know what year, maybe 80s, maybe 90s, and it was in my grandpa's barn, and I swear that thing never ever left the barn or ran, and there were always people working on it. Oh yeah, well, British cars in general, there's, I don't know if I had the t-shirt or not, but there's a saying, why do the British drink their beer warm? And because Lucas makes the refrigerators. Lucas was the one that did all their vehicle wiring for Jaguar and MGE and all them.
That's funny. Classic.
I know of a few Range Rovers that I see going to the dealership quite often, so that's seems to be par for the course with any of those vehicles coming out of the UK. Yeah, those Range Rovers, Land Rovers, those things are really popular. They got themselves a reputation for the beasts that they produced in the 70s and 80s, and a lot of world expeditions were running them. I don't know if, with like everything, I don't know if the thing you buy from the dealership on Hall Road is the same thing that earn them the reputation, just like, the Hummer you buy at the Hummer dealer isn't the Hummer that earned Hummer its reputation either. So, I don't know. I don't think I'd get a Jaguar. If I, I'd get a little British car. I kind of like some Triumphs and some MGs. I'd get one of them. They're smaller, a little easier to work on. The problems are a little bit better defined, and, the engines are a lot easier for a shade tree mechanic to keep running. So I'd probably go that route if I was going to get into the whole LBC scene, little British car.
LBC, I like that. Yeah, the Range Rovers, they're like the snooty car to have these days. I like them too, but they're definitely not the vehicle that got their reputation. And I've heard that they're in the shop a lot, and I don't understand that. They kind of have a weird reputation of quality and good stuff, but then in reality they're not. So I don't know. If I were to look at getting one, I'd do a lot of research.
I think the best made vehicle I've ever owned was my Toyota Tacoma. It sucks. It was so small because I couldn't keep it. But just you sat in that thing and everything was solid, nothing creaked. Like, you touch any of these dashes on these American cars, they flex, they creak. The Tacoma was just a solid little truck, and I think if I don't buy this truck at the end of my lease, which I'm probably going to have to because I'm so far over my miles. This has been a great truck too, but I think I'm going to go back to a Toyota. If I have to keep a practical vehicle, we'll see what we end up getting my wife here. But I think if you want something you don't really have to mess with, that's what I'm getting at here. I'm just beating around the bush. I think Toyota's the way to go. All these other ones, whether it's Chevy, Ford, Ram, Chrysler, Range Rover, whatever, I just feel like they all have issues.
Yeah, I got to agree there. Toyotas or Hondas, either one, and specific models are most of them are good, but there's a couple in each line that are just diehards. They're so well built and so reliable, for sure. I just have a weirdness about a pickup truck that's not, one of the big three. So I don't know why, but I guess it's just just my era. But I've been lucky with my Jeep. It's got 126,000 miles on it. And original brakes, believe it or not. I've never put a dime into it. I had a water pump go right before the warranty. And the Uconnect, the big screen radio infotainment system, that got replaced under warranty as well. But it's due. I need a tune-up, brakes, shocks, radiator, I need to do a lot of maintenance on it, like, right now. And hopefully I'll keep it for a few more years. I like no payment.
Knock on wood, Greg. You're a lucky man. Hey, I just walked in at work. Let me jump out of here. See you gentlemen later. Catch you. Talk to you later.
Several thousand into it and keep it. So I don't know what I'm going to do yet, but the time is coming to decide.
Well, I'll tell you right now, the market's ridiculous, and you're a smart man with your money, so I have a feeling you're going to end up keeping it, because we shopped not too long ago for my wife, and like a comparable SUV to what you have, you know, well, what is that? It's upper midsize, I guess you could say. I don't even want to call it midsize. A Traverse is leasing for like $900 to $1,300 a month. Like, it's insane what everything's going for right now. I know you buy your stuff, but just throwing that out there.
Holy wow, I had no idea it was that much for a Traverse. Goodness sake, so that would be comparable to what I have, I think. And, yeah, that's crazy. So the sticker, I mean, lease or buy, it's going to be outrageous anyway. The last car I got was this Blazer. It was like 1.5 years old or something, had 8,000 miles on it. And I think that's the way I'm going to go again. I don't think I'm going to buy a new vehicle. I'm going to buy a pretty darn new vehicle. that seems to work best money-wise for me.
Yeah, that's a smart thing to do in my opinion, but my mom got rear-ended. She had one lease payment left on her car, and the buyout was like $27,000 on a $60,000 Explorer. So I'm like, well, you're nuts if you don't buy that. Then she got rear-ended the night I came home from Vegas. She took the kids back to my house, and we're leaving at like 10 o'clock, and made it 2 miles down the road and got hit. So felt horrible, but she's picking that up today. It was all a cosmetic, fortunately, so I think she's going to end up keeping that. But we were shopping for her. And I don't know if you were, I shop GM, that's just where I'm always at, so I don't know what everything else is going for. I won't buy a Ford, I don't mind Ram and all that stuff, but it's not my first choice. But we were looking at Cadillac XT8, or XT6s for my mom, and those were leasing at $900 a month with like four down. So, I know it's Cadillac, but it's nothing special. The sticker on it's like $55,000.
Roger that. Nope, she's definitely better off of keeping it. That accident's unfortunate, but like you said, cosmetic. Yeah, that buyout, that would be a no-brainer for me.
Right, and that's probably what I'm going to do with this truck, too. I think I got 18 months left. I'm about 8,000 miles over in my first half of the lease, so we'll see where I end up, but... That's the other thing. These trucks keep going up. And unfortunately, I got to have a damn truck. So, all right, man. I'm here, too. I'm going to get inside and get going. But good hearing you out here this morning. Have a good day. Hopefully, I'll catch you here soon. NADDF will be clear up yours.
For sure, yeah. I figured it was time I check in. I've been kind of laying low for a while. Good to hear from you. Get in there. Get your stuff done. Sean Knopf kind of set you aside there. Sorry about that. I'm assuming you're... in the shop already, I'm guessing KE8 VSI.
No, I actually jumped in and said I've been at work. I wasn't sure if you guys heard me or not, so I kind of checked out.
Missed that. All right, let you guys go. Good chatting with you both. KE8 VSI.
WDATIC near Toledo, Ohio.
Hmm,
KKU.
Good morning, sir. NAWRO. Storms are coming later today.
Yeah, but how bad?
I think it's a little too soon to tell, but there's a good line to the west of Chicago right now. So just have to keep our eyes open.
Sorry, I got a phone call in there, Jim.
That's what I figured. Hey, what's the status on your radio? It's sounding good today. I didn't quite get the full report from last night, and right now it's sounding good.
While we took it out, you checked out both my antennas on both radios. And both of them are showing either a 1.4 or a 1.5 to 1. So I got a good SWR on both. So you're not sure. It's it could be the van itself. I don't have any noise filters on the power, and it's hooked directly up to the battery, or to a feed off the battery into my inverter, which is never on. So it isn't directly to a 200 amp fuse. So it could just be engine noise, from the electrical of the vehicle. So I got to find some noise filters, I think.
Yeah, that sounds like it might be it to me. It's not overpowering at all. It's just a little bit. You can hear it. It might be the best course of action.
Yeah, because it's not prevalent on my end all the time, but when I do hit certain areas, I can hear, the static or the, a little bit of bacon in there and stuff. And I know I've got good ground plane on these, on the mag mounts. And Wally, I said, checked out the SWR, and it looked good there. I got full wattage going out. So, I guess I'm going to have to look up some inline filters, I think. That might help.
Did he say he even swapped out the radio temporarily with another one and he still heard it?
We swapped antennas between the two radios, swapped them back, redid them, and, the SWR is still good, so I'm not getting, 1.5 to 1 is pretty good, so still a little bit more investigation, I guess you could say, trying to find that needle.
Question.
Go ahead, Joe.
Joe, and NAWRO.
I think I doubled with Tom. Go ahead, Joe.
Sorry, guys, my phone rang. Can I hit you with that quick question?
Absolutely. Valuable input is always appreciated.
Could it be something in the radios? Have you guys checked the mic cords? I think your radios are used a little bit there, Tom. Check the connections. Check the... not just the connections, but the security of the radio connection itself, the housing, something loose in there. Because every time you've had these problems, it comes and goes with your transmission. It's the only time I've heard the crackling, bacon frying, popcorn, you name it, it's there. But it only seems to be in your transmission, not so much in the signal. That's just my take. W8RCY.
Sorry, Donald, I got the voice ID wrong there. Yeah, that sounds about a good assessment on my part. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, I use my Elenco and it's brand new. I just moved the mic around.
Well, I was having a problem with my HTs, and I'm on HTs quite often more than I am on my base station, because my base station's not fully upgraded yet. Well, I've got a couple more things to do. But I had these Nagoya antennas on my HTs, and I basically got rid of them and went back to the stock antennas because they whip around every little movement you make. I'm sitting on the couch right now, perfectly still, holding the radio straight up and down like somebody taught me how to do, right? And basically, there was enough whipping around that my signal was distorted. And once I put the factory antenna back on it, the problem cleared up. Same thing with the microphones. You could be just driving, you're driving in your vehicle and you're moving around, the truck's bouncing around, the cord's bouncing around. And I was just wondering if anybody looked at the microphone, the connection of the microphone, the condition of the microphone cabling. I don't know if it's the Motorola that's the issue or what, but I know Motorola mic cables do go kind of quickly sometimes. I'm just looking at the mic end of it, not so much the wiring in and out of the motor and, to the electrical system and things like that. Just a suggestion. I will be quiet. I will go back and drink my coffee. W8RCY.
W8RCY. Yeah, I'm KCKHL, but I'm just responding to you. It's that morning. It's Wednesday. It's hump day. I haven't had my coffee. But no, because when you guys talk back to me, I hear like little ticks, like little static ticks on my end. So, and it's only in certain areas that I get it. In other areas, I'm clear. So I don't know if it could be just something through the electrical. That's what I'm thinking.
All right. Sounds good, Tom. All good suggestions. Again, it's not overpowering. It's just a little something you can see there. So sounds good. N8WRO. Thanks, Donald.
Well, that's just my two cents listening over the last few days before the drain plug fell out. It's just, you guys are talking about antennas, the grounding, the SWR, the wiring to the battery, and this is all receptional stuff and not so much transmitting. And I'm thinking, mic issues maybe? And I have not heard anybody talk about the microphone issues or the transmission side of it. And that's the only reason why I brought it up. Gentlemen, have a great day. W8RCY.
Oh, I did. When I first got the radio, I had a problem with the mic because the mic port was too small. So it wasn't catching, my voice very well. Or I sounded muffled, I guess, is what Sean said. So actually took time out and went into the shop, and I tore the mic apart, cleaned out anything that was in there, and I made the port a little bit bigger instead of being a pinhole.
Ah, yes, the old trick, drilling out that hole a little bit. I got to do the same thing on my Yaesu FT65, I think it is. It's just a little bit bigger. It might help with channeling the audio into it. It's kind of an old trick there. That's good.
Yeah, there is a channel. You got the mic port on the face of the mic, and then there's a little rubber channel that goes right to the condenser mic a little bit further in by probably like an eighth of an inch. And so the hole is right at the end of that channel, and the rubber booting probably could block the hole a little bit, so making it a little bit bigger made my mic work a little bit more efficiently.
This conversation made me take a look at my mic on the Yaesu here, and it's got three holes horizontally for the incoming audio. And then every HT I'm looking at has just that one little tiny little hole. It's kind of the way it is, I guess.
Yeah, it's kind of like for, I guess, windy situations or, background noise where it channels the audio a little bit more into the mic and eliminates a lot of the background. noise. I don't have my Motorola back yet. That's still being evaluated. I picked up a TYT MD9600 from Wally WABD and put it in my van last night. Programmed a little bit more stuff into it. Pulled some, you know, eliminated some unnecessary channels and zones for it. So it's good to go so far. And we'll see how that goes. I was on DMR last night for a couple minutes on it.
Oh, I didn't know that. So that's nice. You're back to DMR capabilities in the mobile, correct? NAWRO.
Be back in a minute, Tim. I got a phone call. KJKJO. KJKJO.
NAWRO. Hopefully you don't have to go too far on your rounds today.
Going to a school.
So repeater-wise, which one is that, Phil's or TJ's?
Right now I'm still on the original repeater.
Getting a little crunchy on Richmond, but I copy that.
Yeah, I'm on the MD9600. So let me go back over to your link and see if it makes a difference.
Looking at the dashboard as you transmit so I can see what you're on.
Well, I'm back on the Olinco on the Richmond.
Olinco is better, yes.
Okay, the Olinco is tied into my inverter power, the back of the van, so that's a direct connection to the battery through a 200-amp fuse in my fuse. So that runs my inverter and my Olinco. Now the MD9600 right now is currently in my cigarette port, or, you know, power port is what they call it now. So that's where that one's at.
Yeah, that's the way I run my ICOM in my mobile for now. And how are you handling the antennas? You got two separate antennas, or you got you're switching? You got an antenna switch?
I got two mag mounts on the roof, separated by 3 feet. One's in the center back of my van, and the other one is in the front. So the only thing that's up there is my ladder rack, and that's about it. And my scanner's turned off. All that's up there right now. So I think it's going to be electrical.
That's correct. Now I remember. You showed me that at the meeting. Yeah, it's a good setup, I think. The other talking antennas here, I did hear Mike do a signal check with Dave last night on the 7.2. He built another homebrew antenna, and oh my gosh, his signal is much better. So I know Dave's going to do the net tomorrow, but next time Mike does, his signal will be significantly better.
Gotcha. Yeah, he's down a little weak when he comes in. I mean, he's got he has the character, but a little bit of static in there. His audio is kind of low.
Yeah, I couldn't switch over to the voter fast enough. I wanted to see which if he was hitting the warn machine like he should be. But yeah, that'll be you'll notice a difference next time he's net control. But all right, sounds good, Tom. I'm gonna let you go. Get your day started, and mine as well. KJO from NAWRO. You have a good one, Tom.
NAWRO, have a good one. 73KJO.
WAPD Mobile. Dubai. Good morning, Digital World.
WAPD, I hear you out there. I'm just on the freeway here on the phone.
Okay.
Yeah, he's on GMRS with it, you know, so we, when we're cruising around, we're within a mile or two away from each other, you know, it's better than talking on the phone.
Yes, it is. GMRS license is all my lady has right now, so like when we're convoying stuff out to the farm or whatnot, we can keep in touch instead of trying to manipulate the phones.
Absolutely, especially when we're heading to the west side or we're going up in the northwest side up by Petoskey, Traverse City and stuff, all signals get kind of staticky, so the radios are a perfect way to do it.
Yes, they are. We found them more useful for staying in touch when we're out at the farm. A couple hours left of here. Because where it is, the cell service is kind of spotty. Even Verizon, the 800-pound gorilla, sometimes drops out there. The radios, they're good for 10, 12 miles out there because it's mostly flat, and the only obstructions you really have to deal with are some trees.
Absolutely. I'm just going to get them to go, you know, be able to, you know, change it from VFO. No, do I have it on VFO? Yeah, I got it on VFO right now. Even though the GMRS is in there, I just haven't shown him how to go up and down the channels yet. He's still new to GMRS. He's new to the whole radio gig when it comes to the ones that we have.
Yeah, copy that. Her family, most of them are actually into ham radio at some point or another, and so she's been around them her whole life, so how to use them and stuff like that, you know, she's good with it. It's just she had issues with the family almost demanding that she get a ham ticket, and I'm trying to work my way around that and get her to get, at least get her tech ticket punched, you know?
Yeah, I have the same thing with my wife. You know, you gotta get this. I know she needs my GMRS license, but she's like, well, I want my own. I'm like, okay. So I set her all up, got her own ticket, and it's posted on the wall. She's very proud of it. And I'm like, why don't you go into, I said, if a 7-year-old can study for the test and pass the exam, there's no reason why he can't.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get past her block of, well, now I am not doing it. You know, people say you got to do something, and then all of a sudden they get their back up and they're going to refuse just because you tried to order them into it. That's the kind of environment she grew up in. So I'm just trying to convince her of the usefulness of it more than anything else and pointing out that, you know, once you punch your tech ticket one time, you know, do the test the one time, if you don't ever want to get any higher than that, you don't have to. You just have to remember to pay your fee or renew your license every 10 years. You'll never have to test again.
100%. Getting the tech ticket is, very simple to do. And even my coworker, I said, I got him his GMRS, and now he's got a little bit of a bug in him. Because when we're driving, he's like, go on the radio. And I'm like, yep, let's do it. And we'll talk on that more often than the telephone.
I hear that. One of the big pluses of this, especially with the network that's been built, networks that have been built out here, is that once you get past the hardware expense, it's free.
Absolutely. Like right now, we just talk on one of the non-repeater frequencies, but I get him switched over so we can at least hit the Detroit one and see how that goes. We live up in northern Macomb, so that one there is a little bit lower power. You know, so I can't get it really that much in Mount Clemens. But if we get in Detroit down when we're in this area, it's perfect. And then if I show them how to move over to a simplex channel, then we can just bounce. Make it a whole lot easier.
Absolutely. I'm actually about 3 miles south of the Mount Clemens repeater, and that's why I usually am talking off of that one, because I'm so close to it, I get through no matter what.
You ever thought about doing ARPS?
Yeah,
Actually, I have, and I already went through the Skywarn training back in March along with my lady, and that's one of the pre-programmed channels I've got here on my base is the Skywarn repeater that's in Mount Clemens. And also doing things like ARPS, there's another argument I'm using with my lady to get her to punch her tech ticket, because she works at the local hospital, and she's got a number of, she's got alphabet soup after her name in the medical field, including things like being a paramedic and an EMT and all that stuff. I'm just like, do you have any idea how much more useful that is if you have a radio?
One hundred percent, I agree. Yeah, next meeting in-house is the third Thursday. So we just had ours last week, I think. Yeah, was it last week or the week before? I forget. I lose track of time real easy. But the next one is the third Thursday, so that's August, whatever the August day is. But tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, 14872, is the ARPS net. Pop in there.
The only reason I don't pop into that net, because I listen to it every time you guys are out there. The only reason I don't pop into that net is I'm retired, I'm on a fixed income, and so basically to make extra money, I go out and DoorDash, and the dinner crowd is pretty good from 6 to 9 p.m. So trying to talk and deliver food at the same time could be a bit of a challenge.
Oh, I get that. I'm not on a fixed income, but my wife doesn't work, so I guess you could call that a fixed income. I'm the only one employed, so whatever I make is what, you know, pays all the bills and everything. But, yeah, I get it. That's why I don't have a lot of toys.
Oh, I hear you on that. You know, I retired from Chrysler back last September and still kind of getting used to the whole fixed income thing. But while I was working, I picked up a whole lot of, you know, toys and stuff like that. So, you know, so I have things to do when I'm not out making extra cash to pay for more toys. Because the pension covers the bills, but just barely right now, because basically I still got a few years left on the mortgage on this house. So once that clears, look out, world.
Oh, yeah, I get it. I just paid off my wife's truck. That's been, I got many years left on my mortgage still. But when I get a little bit of extra cash here and there, you know, then I pick up my toys here and there. And the thing is got a great group of guys on the FBI network that have equipment that they're always willing to sell. And that's how I get my stuff. JCGGO Friday.
Yeah, I haven't gone that nuts with the radio equipment yet. You know, if you looked me up on QRZ, you'd get a good idea of the stuff that I have. But basically, I got a couple of those NECQs. I got a couple for you, the TYT 9800s. And I got quite the pile of those Baofeng AR5RMs. And the reason I like those, besides they feel fairly solid and they seem to work all right, is that, you know, if you can pick them up, a pair of them for $40, you hunt around good. And if you drop one of those down a ravine, it's a $20 radio, you're not doing that. You drop a $200 HT down a ravine, and you're going to be raving for the rest of the day.
Oh, yeah. You drop the one down there, and you're like, whatever, it's down there. I'm not going to go get it. The other one you drop down, and you drop to your knees, and you cry.
Exactly. KF8DPZ for ID.
Well, I have arrived at my one and only run for the day currently, and we'll see how it pops from there. I usually start with one, and then I come on. I'm like, oh, look, I got four others. The joys of being a technician. 73 in your final. Kilo Charlie 8, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
All right, copy that. And I was listening earlier when you were talking about some of your noise issues or your power lines. Go get some of those Snap-on ferrite beads. They actually work pretty well for eliminating a lot of noise. And with that, I'm going to let you get about today. 73 is to you as well, sir.
I hope your day goes well for you. KF8 DBZ, clear and monitoring.
KKKKL.
WGD Mobile again. W8RJD Mobile and monitoring.
NAWRO Mobile Richmond.
NAWRO KCKGO.
I meant to tell you, Tom, I got a whole bunch of those ferrite beads, so don't buy any. We'll hook you up.
Awesome. Yeah, I found one, and I just put it on the antenna for the Elenco. See if he gets rid of some of that static.
Yeah, if I remember right, I got some, like, elongated ones, and then just the standard short ones. And they should be the right diameter to fit on coax. So, yeah, I'll hook you up.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you very much. How do I sound right now? I'm on, TLS, or is that LTS? AC8 LTS, 175.
You're sounding good to me. I'm on the ICOM in the mobile, and sounds good. I can't really hear too much problems, but we know there might be a little something there, but good for now.
Yeah, I found one ferrite core. I just happened to be digging through my bag. I'm like, oh, look at that. I didn't realize I had that. So came out here and put it on the Elenco antenna, and then I tightened up all my battery connections, make sure those were all good inside the engine compartment. Check that all out. And all I got to do is dive behind my my inverter, try to get back there and do a little bit of handiwork back there. But I know those ones are tight because I wrenched those ones down.
Yeah, I originally got a bag of those things for the base when I had a second monitor up, and the second monitor was causing a whole heck of a lot of RF, and I tried to ferrite everything, and it just didn't work. So exactly, pulled the monitor down. I was going to watch the dashboards on that, and I just used a repurposed old cell phone and a small tablet. So I've got both the dashboards up, and I got the, the voter up for the 7.2. And they work fine, and they don't cause any RF. So I don't need the beads.
Well, there you go. I'll be right back. I'm going to make a phone call. You must be heading to breakfast.
Tom, I'm going to go ahead and sign because I'm pulling up to the QTH. You have a good day. Drive safe. NAWRO.
Copy that. 73, I'm going to talk to you on the flip. KCKJL.
WD8KLL.
WD8KLL. Good morning. KCKJL.
Hey, good morning, Tom. How you doing today?
Just got done with my first run, and now I'm going to head back to the office and get the rest of my stuff out of the temporary van I was driving.
Roger, roger. Yeah, I don't know if you remember, but we chatted last weekend on the MI5 network, I think it was, the digital side. I think it was on Saturday. I was up north.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Usually you're out there and I hear Jack chiming in every so often.
Yeah, this past weekend I was up in, I was near Traverse City where that stabbing took place, but I was up in Bel Air, and I tried my hotspot, and you came back to me up there.
Yeah, I was just trying my hotspot, but I think I got to move my antennas a little bit more because it's chirping back on my UHF. Trying to figure that one out. Like, they're already about 3 feet apart. Who knows? If I got to move it more, I'll move it more.
Yeah, I was using a OpenSpot 4 Pro with the Yaesu portable handheld up there. And it sounded like you were sitting right there with me.
Oh, yeah, I love DMR. You get it just right. I got an OpenSpot 1, so it's a hardware to my network at home. And then I just use my my QIT through my OpenSpot. And it works out pretty good. I mean, the clarity is, I mean, like right there.
Yeah, that OpenSpot 4 Pro cross mode from, you know, I got to start out with C4 FM cross mode to, oh, it'll do P25, D-Star, Brandmeister, DMR, whatever. There's so many things I haven't even explored. I mean, there's so many talk groups and stuff. The only one I really listen to is Kansas City Wide. I don't know if you heard that one out there, but they usually have a lot of good net going on throughout the week.
Yeah, the OpenSpot 1, I only have it only can do one, so I do Brandmeister, so that's where everybody's at. And there's a good net on Saturdays on the Michigan net that's run out of Mason area, and Dana usually does that. I think it's 31266, so I have to look it up.
Is that the, is it under Michigan UP or Michigan Net? There's two of them, I believe. I have not listed either one.
I believe it's the MI Net. Yeah, I think it's the MI Net, Michigan MI Net. I think that's 31266, I believe.
Okay, yeah, I need to start broadening my horizon here a little bit and listening and get some other channels in here, because right now I pretty much listen to Kansas City Wide or the Eastern Michigan network, which goes all the way from Detroit up to Sault Ste. Marie, I believe. But honestly, there's not a whole lot of people on the digital side from what I'm finding out.
They're there. You just got to hit it at the right time, I guess. Because usually I'm on MI551, which is 31261, to Brandmeister. You'll catch me on there. You'll catch Wally on there. I think Jack's been on it every so often. There's quite a few of us that bounce around on it. Besides that, there's somebody over in Muskegon that's on MI5, CY1. And, of course, you, and there's somebody else up there in Indian River, I think, that jumps on every so often.
Okay, yeah, I just got to listen a little bit more, I guess. A lot of times I don't even turn my hotspot on when I'm scanning. Yeah, I just got to get some times and numbers in here and listen a little bit better, I guess.
Yep, all it takes is time, and we got the time. That's what I did. I mean, I got an ND9600 I just picked up last night from WHBD. He bought it at an estate sale from Asylum T. WBAD Walt, very well known in the community on him. And, picked it up from him, bought it from him, and just got it mounted in the van last night.
What, is that a radio that you, a DMR strictly only radio, or are you talking about a hotspot?
No, it's VHF, UHF, and DMR.
Oh, okay. Very cool. Yeah, WD8KLL Friday.
I mean, I got the firmware flash for OpenGD77, because TYT has their own programming software, but it's not easy, but you only can use the TYT code plugs. You got to build it and save it, build it good for other TYT radios. But TYT and Retevis are basically the same animal, and with OpenGD77, you update the firmware, and it opens up a couple more doors on it. I like it. It's an easy program. It's fast. You just click on upload from radio, and then boom, it's there. And you can use any USB to, let's see, my HTO uses a double pin, and this one here uses a USB to mini USB, the old school mini USB. You plug that in there, and boom, program it in like 3 minutes.
Yeah, the DMR stuff, where you got to write code plugs and stuff, is a whole different animal, which I never went down that road. But I have the Yaesu unit, so I started out cross-moding from, you know, C4FM to Brandmeister. So I never had to write a code plug, but I did look at how to do it and stuff, and it's quite extensive when you got to put in the banks and the letters and all the different information for the different talk groups. So it's a whole different animal than what I'm used to.
Once you get used to it, it's not that bad. You got your color code, you know, you got your inbound, outbound, and then you got your color coding, your time slot. A lot of them are time slot one, color code one. Unless for special events, then you use color code 2, time slot 2, and they give you everything that you need to put in there. I still got some more DMR frequencies I have to put into it, but, I mean, once you start getting into it, with the OpenGD77, and you see how it goes, it was a lot easier. I actually had somebody build my code plug and update it to OpenGD77 for my DG380. And after that, I just follow the template, and I'm like, oh, this is how you do it. And then boom, boom, boom. Made it a lot easier.
Yeah, I'm sure I could figure it out, but I just hadn't had to do it yet. I know, I think Jack's got the TYT9800 and the Retevis unit, and maybe Captain Don might have programmed it for him, but he was talking about how his radio's set up, and I'm like, I don't know nothing about that side of things. I just know how to cross mode to tell me what group number it is, and I can talk to you. That's about it.
Well, I don't know how to cross mode. I don't even know how to do that yet. Like I said, my Linko is, I don't have a digital chip in it, and they're getting hard to find. It's like a buck and a half for one. See if I can find a spot for it, and then taking apart the radio, putting it in there, and then enabling the feature. I haven't gotten that far yet, when I could just get another mobile DMR and be done.
Yeah, I just got a wire up for the HF side, so I've been having a ball with that. I put a half-wave end-fed wire, about 74-foot wire, about 35 feet up in the air, kind of slopes down to a tree in my backyard, and I've been talking 100 watts, you know, with HF, and gosh, I've been getting out all over the world. The other day I got, Sweden or Switzerland, Germany, and Ireland all within like an hour. I was just having a ball.
Yeah, I don't have my general ticket. Eventually I'll do that. Once I get more time, just another, what do you want to call it? Another vegetable on the plate.
Yeah, I get it. I had my technician, I just got licensed the end of March, this year. And the band was hopping when I first got my tech license. The 10 and 6 meter was pretty busy. I thought, this is great, you know, this is all I need. And all of a sudden the band stopped and shut down, and I couldn't talk HF. And I said, all right, now I got to go get my tech license. So I studied, I don't know, 4 or 5 days straight, and took the test online. On the fourth day, I think it was, at 9 o'clock, I scheduled it and did a Zoom thing and got it done. So I've been having a ball ever since.
And when I got mine in 98, I did the novice exam. Failed it on the first try, got it on the second try, and that's what I'll study. And I studied a little bit, but not a lot. And then I went back, studied for my tech. No code tech is what they call it, no code tech. And studied for that and passed that on the first hit. And
a
no-code tech,
or
a tech since 98.
Wow, oh, you've been in it a long time. Yeah, I'd say it's about time to get your general, Tom, for sure.
Oh, heard somebody else talking in there. Calling the station, go ahead. KJKJO.
KCKJL, this is NAWCL. You said you took the novice test in 98?
Affirmative.
Okay, I've been licensed since 92, and I thought at that time they had cut out the novice. Let's see, they had, at one time they had 5 class licenses, novice, tech, general, advanced, and extra. I thought they had cut out, well, at least when I took the test, they had cut out novice, and they only had 3 class, tech, general, and extra. They did have tech plus for a hot minute, but that, I didn't even know that. Okay.
Yeah, when I took my test, it was novice, tech plus, general, advanced, and extra. So, when I did my tech testing, they said, go for no code tech. I'm like, okay, so I did no code tech and passed it. And then I think it was only in the past, I mean, I could be wrong, maybe 10, 15 years that they reclassified it and dropped the novice. And did just the tech class, the general, and the extra, yeah. So they redefined it.
Okay. Yeah, I just know when I took mine, there was only 3 class. I mean, I before then, you know, they had 5 class, and I, you know, I had friends that was maybe they were licensed way before me. And of course they were pretty good with the code there, the code test. And so one day I was down in Dayton, and my friend said, "Hey Jay, you ain't gotta worry about the code. Just get the no code book and study that, and you get your tech license," which I did. So okay, I just kind of wondered. It's kind of, I mean, you know, yeah, it was. Like I said, one time, like you said, what is it, novice, tech plus, general, and advanced and extra. And so, okay. It ain't gonna be.
Hey, Tommy.
WBD.
Strictly ran VHF, and then that was my first mobile rig. Never thought about UHF, and then I got one that was a dual bander. Didn't pay much for it. That thing lasted maybe about a year, and then it died out. And then all I had was VHF, and then eventually I broke down. I'm like, I'm going to treat myself, and I bought myself a nice dual bander, and that's what I'm on now. And got my DI EMR that I've had for 3 years, reflashed, reprogrammed by Captain Don. I've been doing that. And I've just been steadily getting more and more things here and there, time and money per permit.
Yeah, that's too bad. I've missed Don. He helped me out on a lot of things.
I heard you, Wally.
Anyways, he helped me to get my my DMR code, stuff like that. So, but yeah, it's all good. Well, all right. I couldn't resist jumping in and talking about the license. Yeah. All right, well, I'll let you go, and I'll be listening out. This is November 8th. We're just leaving.
WJL 73, KJL.
Hey, KJL, KJL, WJL.
Was somebody calling?
Sir,
hey there, how are you doing on your voltage issue?
I found a spare car, and I put it on the Alinco antenna, see how that's running, and then AWRO, Tim's got a couple more for me, so I'm going to grab those when I pass through Richmond. I said I'd pass through your place later today to pick up that power supply.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give that a try. I'm going to try to meet up with Sean and grab your XPR and try flashing that tonight just to see if it's worth a try. So, hey, if one person says he's had success doing it, before we throw the baby out with the bathwater, I think we're going to give that a try.
Works for me. It's just another metal stick on my roof.
Where are you at, Walter?
Gratiot and 15.
All right, I'm at 15 in Cali, so we should be getting there right about the same time.
Okay, in the parking lot. Yeah, we'll try the power supply, and then we'll try the thing, because like I said, it's just nothing's adding up, but I still think we either got a ground problem, some sort of RF problem, or something that's not real. Related. I mean, it's radio related, but it's not related to the radios that you have.
Who knows? It could be my stupid cell phone that I carry around in my pockets all day.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. All right. I'm going to grab your XPR. I shall chat later. WBD.
Enjoy breakfast,
KJL. Oh, man, you're too far for me to make breakfast.
I don't know. Where are you at?
I know where you're at.
I'm probably a half hour at least. So, next time.
Yeah, I got to get down to south end of the county, so we're going to meet up here real quick and blast. All right, sorry about that. It was kind of impromptu, just so that Wally could pick up this radio. WNFU.
All right, good enough. KE8BSI.
Enjoy, guys. KGKGO. I'm at my next GTH.
Good talking with you, Tom. WD8KLO, I'll be clear.
73 DUI. well. KHHJO out.
What a beautiful day for a lark.
If only I had the time.
Yeah, the heat wave finally broke. And I went outside for like 15 minutes yesterday and I was like drenched with sweat. I'm like, my God. Well, at least it's a little bit cooler today. W8EAP. How you doing, gentlemen? Yeah, the hip recovery's it's doing good. I'm getting back into the swing of things. So it's probably a little bit more to go. Go ahead, Greg.
Yeah, glad I heard John here. Friday, JZ and I are going to Bald Mountain, or at least we're planning on it. So if you want to do some cave filling, come on up. Probably just going to activate the park and hang out a little bit. I told KFA that day about it. He said he may or may not be able to do it, depending on work. And Tom, as anybody, welcome to come. But Friday, we're looking at, not a LARP, but just kind of gathering and
very good. I may or may not be able to make it. I'm heading up north Friday. I'm not sure what time I'm heading up Friday. It's going to be in the late afternoon sometime. But, very good. Yeah, so where are you off? I'll let KJO take a turn. But next time around, I just want to know where you're heading. Subs today myself. We'll have to see. Either that or I'm going to make myself breakfast. Anywho, I just wanted to jump in there and say hi. I got a couple things I got to do here. And I'll be back a little bit later after lunch. So, Greg, enjoy your lunch. Tom, enjoy your work day. And I'll be back. W8EAP.
I'll let you round.
NAWRO, Richmond, listening.
Just wanted to say hello.
Why, thank you. On HT in the backyard, there was some vacuuming going on in the house.
There we go. In our relationship, we call you running things. You run things in the house. Dishwasher, vacuum, laundry. I run things.
I let Tom know I got some of those ferrite beads for his setup there. I got a big ring one, a couple of ring ones, and then the ones that fit right on the coax. So we'll give that a shot, see if it works.
Yeah, we got some voltage problems, I believe. I'm going to give him one of those Bernoulli power packs tomorrow, run it on 12 volts. He's dropping to 10 when he's transmitting. I don't know if you heard that or not, but I am going to make this a project, and I am going to make this better, and I got to make sure I don't get hit by this tree truck just gonna. Okay. Neighborhood's getting, one of the neighbors is getting some trees taken out, and they're over here with some monster equipment. I can't imagine what this tree removal bill is going to be, but it's nice, nice equipment.
That's the way to go. I was lucky to have Edison take my large maple tree, many years old, down last year. Had to go, but hey, at least I didn't have to pay for it.
Yeah, well, nobody wants to take down a healthy tree, but if you have to take it down, you definitely don't want to be the one for it.
Sounds like it. You have a good one, Wally. WAVD from NAWRO. After you.
Okay. Stepping out. WAVD.
WAPD. NAWRO, New Baltimore.
Yes.
Actually, Chesterfield, I guess. I had to drop down here to get my Sky Rizzy shot.
Okay. I was trying to do something here, but it didn't work, so I have to call you back. I was trying to fix Tom's radio, but obviously I don't think I'm able to do this.
Understood. Sitting in the parking lot for at least another 5, wasting some time. NAWRO.
WDAKLL. WAW.
Hey, Dylan.
Lancelot. What's going on?
Did you get the kiddos? Did you have the Xfinity guys come and replace my cable today? Because some critter decided it would be a good thing to chew on.
Probably uses that peanut oil in the wiring like Ford.
I don't know, they got it down to the center conductor and everything, so that was my issue.
As long as they didn't break the center conductor, she'll still have been working. Shorts aside.
Yeah, it was mostly working, so Thursday there was that storm and it went 100% out, and it didn't come back until I came home and restarted the router a few times, and it wouldn't connect, and then eventually finally connected. Ever since then, you can look at my check NK instance, and it was dropping back to just like crazy, and travel time was through the roof, and it was working, just not very well.
So do you have a plan to keep them away from it now?
Well, the problem wasn't routed very well. It was, it went underneath the porch and was like drooping on the ground, and he put it all up nice and neat, and instead of going under the door for the porch, he went up and around the door, so they can't get to it from underneath, so it should be a much better situation.
Oh, this was the actual cable wire?
Yeah, it comes from the pole down to the house. There's a little lightning arrestor, and from the arrestor to the modem he replaced.
There you go. Well, I've been thinking about switching back to a cable, but I've been looking. We got that 123 net for a pretty reasonable price. Well, I mean, it's double what I pay now, but it's gigabit symmetrical. Not that I need it, but it's pretty robust, and it's an IP4 address and all that good stuff. That's the only knock I have. I'm running the T-Mobile right now, but the only knock I have is the carrier-grade NAT. I just I guess I've just ran into enough problems with that carrier grade NAT that that'd be the thing that'll get me to switch. Although I understand for just a few bucks more you can get the T-Mobile business class, and that eliminates that. So I'm thinking about looking into that, but I don't know. You get these goofballs on the internet and they're telling you about how it is, but you know, half the time they're right, half the time they're not.
Yeah, I've got on the microchip thing, you do that back to home VPN, so you set that up and you get the app on your phone and it creates a WireGuard tunnel and it works pretty slick. I use that to get back to my network. It works for my purposes. Wouldn't have to worry about carrier grade now. Yeah, I've been thinking about trying to do something for redundant. Fortunately, I'm in a cell phone hole, so even doing LTE is not really an option. So I'd have to do either DSL or DSL or satellite. Just that hole just kind of kills me. But when I lose power, I lose the internet, even if I'm on a generator, because there's no battery backup on the cable. So it's not ideal, but I'd like to get it redundant, but just paying twice for internet, you know.
Get Starlink, baby, and that carrier-grade NAT. No, that doesn't fix it. I'm tunneling. That still doesn't fix it. It just changes too frequently, you know, all the time. And so you always have these, like if you've got something like, in particular, what's troublesome is like All-Star nodes, you know, because they've got to register with the server. So when it changes, then there's this window, you know, before it'll sync back up. Yeah, it fixes itself, but it's changing several times a day, and it's always going down. It's just a royal pain in the ass. So even with the dynamic DNS, you still run into a problem because that has to update. It takes a bit anyhow, and then it has to re-register and you know, get it all corrected because they're all IP4 based. You know, they that's the biggest problem with All-Star is they're IP4 based, and they need to get away from that.
Got to get your MI6 WAN going at your house, and you'll be good to go. I don't know. That MicroTik's pretty good. It handles all the dynamic DNS and everything, but I'm not using it in the network. I'm just using it when I'm at work. I'll log on to it so I can get the ad blocker if I need to. Get into a node for whatever reason, I can pop onto it and get into it.
Yeah, I can do that. That's not a problem, you know, any of that, any normal stuff, but stuff that isn't completely dependent upon IP4. But yeah, you're right. If I get the MI6 WAN running to the house, then I'll just put all the hammy stuff on that and then call it a day. I'll be happy. And but you know, I got to find a port in. You know, the closest point to multipoint is just a little too far for me. Too many trees in the way. And the site that would work for me, you know, don't have the stuff yet.
Yeah, that's my issue. I'm like equidistant between Flint and Frankenmuth, and I'm you know on the verge to even reach it with the 15 mile dish, but I've also got surrounded by trees. I have to get above the trees, and I'd probably be marginal at that if I get a link.
Well, I understand. I don't know. I've been reading up on it. If I get my own router for T-Mobile, there are a few bucks, though. That's the problem. Every once in a while, I've seen one come up used for a fairly good price. But if I get a good deal on a my own router, and I may or may not be able to use it with consumer T-Mobile, but if I go to business T-Mobile, I think they let you bring your own device. And then I can, probably get away with locking it in. So I don't know. I will see. All right, I'm just getting home here. I'm going to back in the drive and get on with my evening. Have fun. Don't let the kiddies run you around too much.
W8 if you have fears. Yep. It'd be nice to be able to do cellular, but I'm just in a hole for anything. That's why I have to have a good Wi-Fi connection and spend all the money to get Wi-Fi in the garage. I have nothing on my phone. I can't, look anything up to make any phone calls.
KE8YNU NAWRO. Ah, trying this side for once, eh?
Yeah, I bounce around. I carry the Motorola XDS5000. I'm usually on this one. How you doing, Tim? I like the idea, by the way. I think that's a great idea.
Uncle Sam's not too much, eh? That's still good. I mean, slightly humorous, but I think it also blends well with what we're trying to do.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think it's a great idea. Good recruitment postcard, and I think looks well. Looking forward to the results.
I'm not sure if I have enough out yet to, but I was just thinking for the net tomorrow night, I'm just going to be listening for call signs that I recognize from my list. And then the other item I was going to discuss would be DMR IDs for the crews, for the five. Should we collect those and provide them to Paul?
I'm sorry, say this again. My wife asked me a question as you were talking, and so say this again. I'm sorry, I want to make sure I got everything.
I was going to consult with Wally, but DMR IDs, in addition to the band plan that Paul might be putting in those radios, should we collect the DMR IDs from the five that are going to be deployed?
I don't know. It may or may not. I guess it wouldn't hurt. I know there are three or four that don't have DMR, so they would have to go in and sign up for a DMR number, which wouldn't be a bad idea, per se. But they can either go off of my DMR number or the county might have a DMR number set for like for our call sign, like the ARPSC call sign.
Okay, I was just curious. I didn't know if that was mandatory or not, but that would work then. All right, sounds good, Dave. I will let you go unless you got something else. This is NAWRO.
I think we're good. I think everything's set, and like I said, great job on the postcards there, and looking forward to good results there. All right, well, we'll talk down the line. This is KGYNU, and I'll be clear.
KGYNU. Good evening, fellas, if you're still there.
Hey, Tom. This is KGYNU.
Yeah, I like the design that you came up with. I said, when I hit the office, I'll, try to remember, see if I can find where they put everything in regards to lanyards and stuff. The cabinet's still there, so I'm pretty sure that the boxes are still inside. I just got to dig for them.
Okay, that sounds great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting those printed off and taken care of. I don't know, I like the design. I was messed with it yesterday at work, and I've got to pick a couple people's brains and said to go with that design. So I think we're set.
Sounds like a plan. And
did you reach out to Mike for the antenna? Okay, why didn't you?
I wasn't sure if you heard me or not in regards to that boot case, KGYNU.
No, were you able to reach out to Mike there for that antenna, or haven't had a chance yet?
I haven't had a chance yet. Went around a little bit in my head, you know, in another place other than on my shoulders. I just picked up WBAD's old MD9600, so I was programming that last night to get some frequencies in it that I needed. But I'll try to reach out to him this week. But yeah, I want to get something that I can attach to the camper and make that my net so I don't have to punch holes anywhere in my house.
Mike made one for himself, one of the same antennas that I've got for himself. His other antenna, I guess, was getting some issues. And we did a radio check last night, and it seemed to work better. So it should hopefully work out for you.
Yeah, I just basically need it for VHF. I can put my VHF radio in the camper on the table there and give me a power supply, and that way I can have something that's direct, you know, that's pointed right down to Uncle Clemens, make it nice and easy.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, good stuff. It'll be good to get you up and running.
Yeah, I got a Motorola 4500, XPR 4500 VHF. It's already all programmed up and updated and stuff, thanks to Mr. WAVD, and I just get a halfway decent power supply to connect it to, and antenna that I can stick outside the camper.
Hey, good stuff. Well, Tom, I'm going to hop off here. I got to drop the girls off, and we got a sleepover tonight, so at least half the girls, half the family's gone, so maybe it'll be a little bit quieter in the house. But anyways, you have a good evening, and I'm sure we'll talk down the line. 73s to you, and I'll be clear on your final. This is KYME.
Well, enjoy the quiet evening. 73 KYME. WRO.
Hey, WRO, go ahead, Tom.
Hey, you said you had some of those fair cores. I'll be heading into the city in about 10 to 15.
I'm here. Do you know my QTH?
Negative. I know we drove around on Saturday, but I didn't pick up your QTH.
I shall text it to you. How about that?
Works for me, sir.
Yeah, I got them in the little bag here, and I got a couple of big donut-sized ones, too. I don't know if you could use them, but I got extra. I think I got about four that fit on coax, so see if you can use them. And, yeah, I'll see you when you get here. No issues. I'll text you that right now.
Copy that. KCKGO.
NAWRO. Clear.
NAWRO, KCKGO, 10 out.
Were you calling, Tom? NAWRO. No worries, anytime. No rush. Front door's open, lights on, room in the driveway. I'll see you when you pull up. NAWRO.
Did
you get your voltage problem figured out? Or I've left the house. I'll be at the office tomorrow by 9, though, if you want to come grab that power pack.
Yeah, that'll work. I haven't done the voltage thing yet. I just put some fair cores on the lines and on the antenna. I'm going to try wiring it into the inverter power, like I said, it's a big 12-gauge back there, and wire the PYT in with the Elenco. How do I sound right now? I just put some of those fair cores on my power and on my antenna.
Not too bad. Just a second, I blow this call off. Okay, they blew me off. Yeah, not too bad. I don't think that that's it. I think it's just not. I just think it's not enough voltage problem.
Yeah, it could be that, and also too is, you know, this thing shakes, rattles, and rolls. It's only got 53,000 miles on it, but it could be just interference from the electronics of the engine and all that other junk. How do I sound now? I got the engine at idle, and I'm just sitting here.
It sounds about the same. So, how far out are you, and what tower are you on?
Richmond, I'm about 7 blocks away from it.
Oh, okay.
any bad then.
So you're at the end of your rope.
I'm not. I can literally spit at the tower. I'm so close.
You've heard we got you on a really short rope.
No, that's when I get home. She's already texted me, where are you? When are you going to be home? That's the short rope right there, and sometimes I like to jump off the roof and hang myself by it.
That would make for a bad day.
Yeah, I'm at NAWRO's QTH, Lance. I got some ferro cores for the antennas and the power and see how that's going to do for me tomorrow. And then, yeah, I'll stop by, you said 9 o'clock, I'll stop by your office and grab that.
Okay, you just get it so it has better than 14 volts while the radio's running and while you're talking, and I think all will be solved.
Yeah, we'll give it a shot, see what happens.
Who was that? Was that Sean? Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, but I'm in and out. I'm just pulling in the driveway here. Got to run out for some beverages. I got myself some lime. I got myself some tonic. I got myself everything I needed. I was going to come home, make a nice gin and tonic. I got no gin. Like, what the heck? Anyhow, I'm home with the booty. W8FU.
Better go buy some gin. Can't have gin and tonic without the gin.
And then all you would have is lime soda water.
Yeah, that would be a good place to get the power off that inverter, especially if that goes right to the battery. Just make sure you fuse the radio near the connection so you don't, the wire going there, but big enough to run the inverter, you're going to have to put a fuse near the hookup. Otherwise, you're asking for trouble.
Oh, the inverter has a 200 amp inline fuse. That's in the engine bay. And then I got a double fuse. I mean, for my Elenco, it's a double fuse. And for the QID, it's a single. So I got enough fuses to end all fuses. I'm just going to tie it right to the terminal block on the back of the inverter.
No, I'm saying to protect it, the 100 amp fuse isn't going to protect the 14 gauge wire.
What, fuse it up even more?
No, you can't leave 14 gauge wire unprotected that length. So if something rubs against it or what have you, or one of your appliances or tools falls on the wire and rubs it from the inverter block to the fuse near the radio, that hunk of wire needs to be protected. So if something happens to that wire, depending on the gauge, you need that fuse to pop to protect the wire. You're not so much protecting the equipment as you are protecting the wire from setting your vehicle on fire.
Oh, what's nice about the back of the inverter, it's an enclosure that I have to open up and run the wire into it and then tie it down to the terminal block. So it's a pretty fancy setup. It's like shoved in there. Almost like a 120 connection that's got a shroud around it that nothing can short against it.
No, but the 10 to 12 foot wire that's going to run to the radio is unprotected.
Oh, yeah. I got you.
I knew you were smart. That's what you need to protect. And then go and grab some of that corrugated tubing from, what's the cheap place there? Chesterfield. What's the name of that place, dear? The tool place. That place. Harbor Freight? Yeah, that place.
There you are. Already. Yeah, like the way that you did the one for the QIT. Yeah, it's all in place. as if it was automotive wiring.
There you go. And the protective right out there channel block will be either 15 or 20 MPUs, no more.
Time to fuse.
It shouldn't be. If it's all those drugs you're on, Eric.
Someone imitating me?
I thought that was you. Maybe somebody is imitating you. How dare they? Either that or my hearing's not as good as it used to be.
The only one, WADAP, and that be me.
All right. And whoever the imposter is, they must be taken down.
KFA, DRC. Now someone's imitating Jack.
Wow. Lots of imposers today. So since that's, I have the floor, I'm going to hand this conversation to Tom, WADAP.
My radio go haywire and track over to GMRF. Yeah, more people talk on GMRS. No one talks on these repeaters. So my radio is fine. It didn't go haywire. Thank God.
That's because all you need to get into GMRS is $30. $15 for the license and $15 for the radio. And boom, you're in.
Well, they're getting their money's worth. Unlike people out here that spend years and tens of thousands and don't talk.
I like to talk.
WARCY is clear.
Later,
Donald. I just got out here. You're already leaving. Give me a complex.
We are going to the Adair Bar to have dinner. Do something out of the norm tonight.
What's Adair, a city?
It's a little town with one blinking light. St. Clair County, probably on my guess, is 31 mile, 32 mile. And I'll tell you what the crossroad here is in a second.
Let me know how it is. Yo, hello to Eric.
About as big as Waldensburg, Michigan.
SWR on DMR.
They're both over in Waldensburg.
There was a couple of you there at the time, but I gotta go. I'm at the blinking light in Adair, so where I belong. Putty Gug, Putty Goat is one street. Play the other one. You guys have a good evening. WABD. Thought I heard KFA. Try that. Go ahead, Dave. St. Clair Road. St. Clair Highway. That's it. St. Clair and Putty Goat. Out. Putty Good.
Enjoy your dinner. Yeah, Eric, Waldensburg. I think you mean 21 and Romeo Plank. That whole area, they bought all the houses and they're going to expand the road. There'd be no evidence of Waldensburg other than the school slash church.
No more Waldensburg Bar? Oh, boy.
Oh, that old building? Yeah, no, that thing's been vacant for a long time.
All right. I'm at my destination. I'll be back in a little while. You guys carry on. Keying up on each other on multiple repeaters, so I can hear everybody keying up at once. Anyhow, W8EAB.
Yeah, I'm going to jump out too. I just arrived home and my dog is cooking his own. So, all from Kilo Charlie, Kilo Juliet Oscar.
Have a good one, KF8S.
KF8S, W80AP. W8EAP.
W80AP, KAWU.
W8TPK.
W8TPK.
KF8DIC.
KF8DIC, this is W8TPK. Got you loud and clear, Jack.
Anyhow, how you doing? I haven't really heard nothing from you. Also, no talking either. I don't know what's going on out there.
Oh, I'm doing good. I'm doing good. My girlfriend's moving in, and it's been a long process, so I think we'll be done this week. She's also been studying to get her ham license too, so. Definitely be on the air more once things settle down.
That's good. I was waiting for you to go back to the test for the test. So I might call you in a week or something. I don't know if you're gonna be around another week or something like that.
Roger that. Yeah, probably next week will be good, because I'm pretty sure she'll be all moved in and we won't be running back and forth too much. And as long as I know, you know, a few hours ahead of time, I can make sure I'm there when you do the test.
Yeah, no problem. Hey, by the way, the funny lady got her general. She already, she called for you there. You wasn't out there. He said, he's not tonight there, so she took a test and passed it.
Roger that. Yeah, I knew about that the day of, and I had to keep it a secret. But, yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Has she messed around with HF at all?
You know what? I took the radio and the power supply out there to her house. And we were outside. She connected to two stations. I cannot remember what, but I was on 10, and I had one station came in clear. But we were outside. It was sunny day. What is it? No, not last Sunday. Sunday before was. I went out there and did that.
All right, that's awesome. Yeah, I was playing around on HF yesterday, I think it was, and yeah, I made a contact with Slovenia. I'm probably saying that wrong. And then another country right near there, and I can't remember the name of it offhand. And then St. Lucie Island, POTA. Yeah, I think that was all on 28 or 0. I tried 10, it was dead.
40. I did make one kind of tooth on 40 meter, but that was pretty dead during the day too. I talked to the guy in Quebec, Canada. That's what I talked to. Okay, yeah, that, I've been getting a lot of Canada stations, when I do try lately. They seem to be coming in clear when, all the USA ones are kind of lacking, on 20 meters. Ooh, okay, I just went around a corner and there was a deer right in the middle of the road. Oh, you gotta watch out for that. You know what, I don't know if you know that or not. The 6 meter, it was wide open, and I think it's still open, the 6 meter, and I could dock on the 6 meter, but the guy in Ohio, I don't know if you're Dane, he said Ohio, and a lot of people in Ohio, and he's been contacting them on the 6 meter. Roger that. Yeah, I've seen it opened up a few times in the last couple of weeks, but I don't have an antenna when I'm mobile. Actually, I do have a 6 meter ham stick, but I haven't tuned it yet. Like I said, I've been super busy. It's just, like today, I literally got 45 minutes of sleep before we had to head down that way and take her daughter to school. In the summer, she's going to summer school, and then we loaded up both trucks with a bunch of stuff, and just now I'm almost to my house right now, and I think she's quite a bit behind me, so I'll probably chat for a little bit as long as I can hit the repeater still from my driveway. I'm hitting the Richmond repeater though. I should be good.
Well, I'm on the warrant anyhow. I need to pay just a favor. I know you have that analyzer. I need to analyze that vertical out there because I bought two bars from those six aluminum outside all the way up. I got a new one in the bottom part. So I needed just to analyze a little bit. I don't know. I think you have one of these analyzer. Roger?
Roger that. Yeah, I got the Rig Expert Stick Pro or something like that. But yeah, I'll have to let you know when I come down there again and I got some free time and I'll shoot over. Like I said, it's going to be pretty crazy here for the next. I think at the end of this week we'll be all set, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, no problem. I'll make you lamb chops. Roger.
Roger that. I can't turn that down, that's for sure.
Nothing done, whatever you want, anyhow. But you know what? My main thing is the ISS. I like to contact them. I have all these apps over here and all that. And I did a couple of times. I don't know if they did hear me or not. You know, I was out there a couple of times. And I think one of them, they heard me on once. But I don't know. Like you said, there's two kinds out there. Anyhow, by the way, Greg said hello anyhow. From their friend. I think he talked to him before.
Okay, is he on here now, or he just said hello? That's Great Outdoors or Adventures or something like that.
Let me see if he's out there. WD8KLL. WD8KLL. KF8DRC. He listened to this station, too, anyhow, the FBI.
WD8KLL. What's up, fellas? Captain Don, how are you, sir? Yeah, it is Michigan Adventures on YouTube.
Hey, Greg, how you doing? Long time no talk to you. I've been super busy, so I ain't been on the radio much, but that'll change here in a week or so.
Yeah,
Yeah, no problem. That's what happens when you have the girls gotta chase after them and all that good stuff. I understand. Been there, done that. Yeah, I've been having a ball. Put a half-wave infed wire up. I got my general. I think I texted you that told you that. And cause you weren't available that night, I believe. But, yeah, I've been having fun. You had mentioned Slovenia. I got the same guy probably. It was last night and night before. But I've talked to Slovenia, I think, 4 times now since I got my general.
Roger that. Yeah, I might have actually heard you make that cue, though, because I heard another Michigan station when I think it was right before I made a contact.
That's funny. I think I do remember that. It was, I believe. Yeah, it was probably back-to-back. That's crazy.
All right, I'm going to dip out of here for a second because I could see Kelly's location and it hasn't moved. I want to call her and make sure she's okay. I'll jump back on though because she's not anywhere close and I'm sitting in my driveway. So I'll be back shortly. Jack's out there, so I'm sure he'll want to chime in for a minute. I'll be back. W8CBT.
All right, Ben. We'll be here. How you doing, Jack?
Oh, I'm doing good after that rain. It rained so hard here, and also windy was very windy. I don't know why, but it was very windy. But now, there's nothing going on out there. KF8DRC.
Yeah, we had just a little bit of rain, nothing too drastic, but it was a good downpour. We've been getting a lot of rain the last couple of days. I just cut the lawn, too, so it was good. So, yeah, it's all good.
That's good. Well, I was on the radio for a little bit. I only heard a couple of stations on a 20-meter, nothing on 10-meter.
Yeah, I haven't been on radio too much tonight. I fell down the YouTube rabbit hole and Facebook and, you know, how that goes. You get sidetracked.
I do that every day. Facebook and YouTube and find out what's going on out there and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so did you want to get together Saturday? Is that the day that works best for you, or what? It doesn't matter, whenever, but let me know.
I don't know what's the best day, Friday or Saturday for you, or Sunday. One of them days.
Any of them, really. Just whatever works best for you. We'll figure it out.
Yeah, no problem. I'm going to go ahead and let you go for a little bit, and we'll talk later. KF8DRC.
Okay, Jack. I don't know if Captain Don is still out there or not, but I'll be listening. WD8KLL, I'll be clear.
WD8KLL, WDPC. I guess there's a little bit of an accident. Blew up, so she was on the side of the road. It was bad, I guess.
Yeah, you're cutting in and out a little bit there, but you say there was an accident. Everything all right?
Hit up to 25 watts, I think it actually hit. Yeah, her daughter threw up in the truck and on the side of the road and cleaned it up. So her location wasn't moving, so I called on her. She's still not moving, though. It must be bad. I'm trying to get rid of the smell or something.
Oh, okay. Roger on that. Yeah, I saw you on YouTube in a while. I was kind of wondering the same thing when Jack said, where you been? It's been almost a month since you've been on there, live anyways.
Yeah, I videotaped a couple passes with the ISS because I heard the one astronaut was on, and she wasn't on, of course, the passes I tried, but I was putting them on YouTube, but it was so busy, I didn't get contact, which is crazy, because I was using my aero antenna. I usually always make a contact with my aero antenna. I did make a contact. RS-44. Hang on, I got a phone call. I'll be back.
All right, WD-8KL standing by.
Captain Don, I have the all shot on, so anytime I'm up to by 12 o'clock, so if you want to go on that all shot.
Yeah.